759-975, the Fanatic, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. Talking a lot of basketball. They haven't even gotten to the Phillies, as we said we would. Give them the proper time, of course. Back at it on the field yesterday after they have about 9 days off.
Yeah, they
played
eight.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
So 8 days off. Yeah. And they finally got back out there, and unfortunately it didn't go well. Falling to the Yankees 6-3.
Hey, by the way, you're gonna play again. You're just gonna play the best offense in baseball. Good luck.
Yeah, no big deal.
Good luck.
No big deal. No big deal. But they're back out there, and it's good to see them back out there. I was listening to some stuff from Derek Jeter and him talking about how we should have empathy for the players with the Marlins and all of that. Look, 18 players. Is it 8? No, 19 players, 2 coaches. Total of 21, if my math is correct, with the people who are infected by the coronavirus. And, of course, we don't want anybody. But having empathy when they were careless, we don't want them. Obviously, you don't want them to lose their lives. But we don't want it. They shouldn't want it. Which is why you stay in. You don't go out and do the things that they were allegedly doing to get the coronavirus. The ones I feel bad for are the ones who are doing things the right way. That's Derek Jeter, who I feel bad for. I don't feel bad for the people who went out there and foolishly decided I'm invincible because I'm an athlete and this won't get me. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. So it's good to have the Phillies back out there, but man, like you said, just go back out there and get out there against the best offense in Major League Baseball. Get back out there. And, oh, Jake, you go out there. And we'll give you 5 innings. That's all you get. You don't get to go 6, and then we start to go back to the bullpen, which is very not very good. Not very good. Oh, man. But they have a doubleheader tomorrow. And I don't think, they haven't said 7 innings, right? We're going to get the full 9 innings of the doubleheader, where I believe one of the games tomorrow is a home game for the Yankees, and then the Phillies are the other home game. Is that right? Yes, I think so. Who knows? It's 2020. It's the pandemic. We have a 60-game baseball season, and it's wild. It's wild. So who knows? 610-632-0975. Don't forget Bubble Watch at 8:30. We go inside the NBA bubble. A lot of stuff to get into, good and bad, unfortunately. Good and bad. Let's go to Jay in the Northeast. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
How you doing, man?
Well, I'm blessed. I called in to defend my guy, Ben Simmons. Now, I watched both of the games about 3 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
3 each?
Yes, 3 each, because okay. I'm a diehard Sixers fan, right?
Yeah, we talk. Now, I know you are, but I didn't know you were watching it 3 times each. But I love it. Well, I love it. So we can get into it. Let's go.
Listen, I've been seeing this for 4 months, so I'm glad that we back playing. You know, I love the Sixers, but the first game, Ben, he caught a bad rap. Now he defended
TJ Warren.
He defended Warren 10 times. He was 9 for 10. The guy was in the zone.
Yeah.
5 for 5 for 3. Every 3-point shot was contested. I mean, the basket probably looked like an ocean.
I thought even though they were contested, though, Jay, that he gave him too much space. I get respecting him, and especially with off the dribble, but a lot of that wasn't off the dribble. It was a lot of catch and shoot stuff.
Yeah, no, but it really wasn't, because they ran him through double picks. Most of the plays, they ran him through.
You mean those pin downs and stuff along the baseline and all that?
Well,
yeah.
No, not the baseline. They ran 2 picks up top.
I agree.
For 3-point shots. They ran him through 2 picks. So he got a double pick. He got picked once. Then they sent another pick for him to free Warren up for the 3-point shot. So, and the team has to help out. I mean, Josh Richardson, I'm watching. Josh Richardson has been horrible on defense. Tobias Harris doesn't play 1 lick of defense. These guys, And to me, Tobias and V, I love him, V. But Jakarr Sampson, he played for us. He's 6'7". He's supposed to dominate.
Yeah, he should have. And they should have kept feeding him.
I mean, yeah, that's my thing. Ben is really, he should be playing the one, period. He's the best passer on the team, period. His floor vision, the pass, even the dimes he threw yesterday behind the back to Matisse, that bounce pass, no look to
Tobias.
I mean, this guy is a talented passer. Why would you take the ball out of his hand? It makes no sense. Shake is not a playmaker. He's a shooter. He can score. But as far as passing, they put Ben at the four, but you don't have anybody to give him the ball when he needs it. He can't nobody get him the ball when he needs it. Tobias is handling the ball. He can't pass to save his life. I mean, the coach, I don't understand what this type of...
I am with you that he has to have the ball in his hands. He has the ball in his hands. It's just as he's walking up the floor. And my thinking there was, number one, of course, as you said, Shake is a shooter. He's a combo guard who can shoot. He's not a point guard. I agree with you. And he can shoot, and he has shot pretty well. Better performance last night. My thinking there was, of course, to add the shooting on the floor to help with the spacing, but also to not have the defense set up against Simmons when he is bringing the ball up, even though you can run your actions and all that stuff, and he won't necessarily be just designated to the top of the key. To have that defense not being able to set up is good for him. So when he is moving, coming to get the ball, and then playmake, I'm good with it.
But this is the thing. Mm-hmm. This is the thing, Devon. You have to have guards that can get him the ball in his spots that he needs it. And that's why he looks frustrated out there. I watched him put his hand up. They not giving him the ball. People saying he don't want to shoot. I watched the game. He is actually, this is the first time watching Ben Simmons actually step behind the three-point line with his hands
arms
ready
up,
and the three-point ready to shoot a three. I've never seen him do that. So to me, that's growth. Somebody give him the damn ball.
All right, listen. That is fair. Fair, Jay. I'm cool. That is fair. That is fair. I mean, that's how you saw it. I can't tell you any differently. I saw some of the same things you did, and you watched it three times each.
He was ready to shoot the ball. This is my first time watching Ben ever ready behind a three-point arc with his hands ready in the shooter's position.
Gotcha.
I've never seen it.
Gotcha.
So we can't say he's not shooting it. Now, when he's open, they're not swinging the ball his way.
Gotcha. Yeah.
He can't pass it and shoot it to himself.
So you think they should make the change where not necessarily taking Shake out of the lineup, but just having Ben with the ball a little bit more?
Because you want somebody to stretch the floor, you want shooting, you want to push the... I would rather have Matisse in for defense because Shake can't guard anybody. This is the thing. We a defensive... Everybody talking about our defense so bad. Well, look what you got out there. Tobias is not playing a lick of defense. Josh Richardson, he was known for defense, but you got the coach worrying about, his touches and all that. You got the players, my friend, see, in Miami, they ain't care about his touches. They wanted him to defend. But this coach has an offensive mentality, and that's our problem. All he looks at is, if this guy doesn't feel offense. Defense still is going to win us a championship if we're going to win it.
Yeah.
And he got to understand that.
Defense, man.
Josh Richardson should not be worrying about shooting 15 shots, going 5-15. He should be focusing on being one of the best defensive guards.
I agree with that defensive side. I like the fact, though, that he did look for his 15 shots last night because he was aggressive looking for a shot, knowing that they needed a little more offense because Ben was in foul trouble. So I didn't mind that.
But you got the first play of the game, they went to him.
They try to get somebody off early, and then they'll go away from them later.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
But knowing Ben Simmons, we watched him 3 years playing. You got to get him going early. You got to get Ben going early because his natural instinct is to distribute.
Yes, he's a passer.
That's what he is. So you got to get him in the rhythm early. And the thing is like Embiid and Ben in the same space, it's never worked and it's not going to work.
I agree with that.
When Embiid doesn't play, you see a different Ben Simmons because the floor is spread and Ben can operate. I watched them try to make a couple drives and Embiid is sitting right on the block. Ben really had, he'd put on more weight. Tristan.
Yeah, he beefed up. So he could be stronger physically when he gets down there and all that. Hey, Jay, we got to go.
Okay. All right, man, I'll call you next time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Man.
We'll talk tomorrow after the game. We'll evaluate things. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I totally understand. Totally understand. Yep. So, 610-632-0975. Tom, come on, Tom. Pure blarney. Tyler, let me address Tom. Tom is a great guy. Tom, this is what he says. Devon, we have one of the best teams in the league with the chance to win the Stanley Cup in the Flyers. And all you do is talk about a team who will get destroyed by the first good team they face. What gives? Hashtag diversity. Tom, let's do the diversity thing real quick. Tom, every time I try to talk Flyers, we do not get the Flyers calls. Tom, I do not ignore Friday. Tyler and I sat here. The first segment, we talked about the Flyers for 15 minutes, and I gave a Sixers question to go with it because both teams were getting underway on the weekend, Saturday Sixers, Sunday Flyers. We got more Sixers calls when I was trying to push the Flyers, and the question was, Carter Hart, we know, has to be the key. That's what goaltending is in hockey, specifically in the playoffs. The young guy, he is the key. What else needs to happen for this team? Who? What aspect of the team needs to step up? I said the defense needed to be stellar with the four lines overall, with the scoring. But, of course, the defense has to be strong, Tom. Tom, we talked about it. We talked about it yesterday a little bit, but we were going into the Sixers game, so we had to, of course, do a pregame show. But, Tom, seriously. Hashtag diversity, you're right. We try to talk Flyers here. No one wants to talk Flyers. The best time to talk Flyers is after a game, unfortunately. That's just what it is. So, Tom, you know we talk on Twitter quite a bit. Yeah, we talk Flyers. No one wants to talk Flyers. With all due respect. And I don't think it's because I'm the one who talks the least amount of Flyers, because I want to talk Flyers when it's time to talk Flyers. It was time to talk Flyers Friday. We brought it up earlier today as well. Everyone called in on the Sixers. We didn't give it a long run, but we mentioned that we would talk some Flyers because, again, they are the team that we all look at and say, yeah, they're going to win. They're going to win some series here upcoming in their bubble. So, we talk about the team that's going to get destroyed when they face a good team. You're probably right because they played last night. They won, but it looked bad. Bad performance. Same thing on Saturday. So when we came back on Monday, we talked about the Flyers a little bit. Talked about the Sixers because the game was coming upcoming. So Tom, with all due respect, my man, we try to talk Flyers. No one wants to talk Flyers. Now, if they get into the Stanley Cup or make a run once this playoffs get underway, I think more people will want to call in, especially if the Sixers are knocked out and the Eagles are not underway yet.
Well, and think about it, too. The Flyers, the way the Flyers played Sunday, right? They win 4-1. What did I say to you when you asked me what was the key to Flyers' success in the postseason?
That's what it was.
What did I tell you? I said depth scoring.
They got
goals.
Defense.
They got goals from Nate Thompson.
Yes.
They got goals from Michael Raffel.
Yes.
They got goals from Philip Myers. It was depth score, and it was exactly what we had hoped and what we expected. If we got three periods of the Flyers looking, their offense looking anemic,
mm-hmm.
and it being squarely on the shoulders of Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier and Travis Konechny, and we would have talked about how poor they looked.
Yes.
They looked great.
And you know how it goes. We talk about the wins all the time. People react more to the losses and how bad they look in losses. So, Tom, yeah. Hey, man, we'll talk Flyers. When we bring it up, no one wants to talk Flyers. You talk Flyers after the game, post-game, unfortunately. Jason, far bigger, way knowledge. Out of a joke, he deems me Mr. Hockey, and he calls himself Mr. Basketball, right? For fun. There are times a lot where you know, even Jason, obviously knowledgeable, crazy knowledgeable. And people don't want to call in about the Flyers. They might call in for a little bit and then they change the subject. That's not our fault. I don't think it's bad, you know, in our preparation of what to talk about with the team. 610-632-0975. And I even think for me, as more of a casual hockey fan, but follows it because of work and have followed it for many, many years because of just being a Philadelphian and knowing the Flyers are big in this area, I don't go all deep into it like Jason does because that's not me. Like he wouldn't go all deep into basketball because that's just not him. He knows it. He just doesn't go deep. That's all. No, you know, nothing against the Flyers. Heck, I want the Flyers to win. We all want the Flyers to win a cup. Yeah, we all want the Flyers to win a cup. 610-632-0975. So anytime anyone wants to talk about Flyers, let's have at it. Is that Tom that's tweeted us? No? Okay. All right, 610-632-0975. Derek in Chicago. Next on the Fanatic. Derek.
Devon, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Devon, I just had to, I'm a first time caller to your show, but I feel like I know you, man. You come into my household all the time as much as I can.
Oh, man.
97.5 is my favorite station by far, man.
Well, thanks.
It's not even close.
Thanks for allowing us into your household. I always feel comfortable with my feet up on your couch and in your house. Thank you.
Yeah, and it feels that way, Devon. I mean, you and Miss Anelli, Tyrone, Natalie, and the cuz. Anytime I get a chance to listen to you guys, I do. I'm 50 years old. I live in Chicago 23 years, nice. 27 in Philly. You cut me, I bleed Eagles, Philly, Flyers, Sixers.
Look at that. Love
period.
It. Love it.
Now for Tom real quick. Tom, Carter Hart is transcendent. The coach is amazing. And youth and speed kill.
That's right.
That's my hockey for the day. Let me flip to the Sixers.
and they have depth. Let's put that in there. Now let's go
let
to
me
the Sixers.
Put that in there.
All right.
Okay, I got to get to the Sixers because you have the best. You're the best Sixers commentator on 97.5, so I appreciate calling you.
I appreciate that.
You know, some I was thinking of, Devon, I want you to think about this a little bit, maybe your callers. I'm thinking about the eras of basketball. The 83 76ers who won a championship against L.A., the infamous 2001 Allen Iverson step over against the Lakers, even though they only won game one against the Lakers. And then right now, a lot of people are comparing the team we have right now to the potential of beating the Lakers. Just think about this for 1 second. I mean, you got Mo Cheeks, he steps off the bus, 12 to 14 points, 10 assists per game.
Mm-hmm.
Transcendent shooter and Andrew Toney. You're talking about Dr. J. I'm full stop there. Don't even have to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. J, Moses Malone, NBA rebounding champ, does all the dirty work underneath. And Mark Alberoni, who was the poor man's Dennis Rodman before Dennis Rodman was Dennis Rodman. The man did everything, right? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
You go, and they were less talented on paper than those Lakers, but they beat them. Fast forward to Allen Iverson. We knew the identity of that team. It was Allen Iverson and four role players doing whatever Allen Iverson needed to get to that championship. Couldn't get over the hump. Hard to beat Kobe and Shaq. Just impossible.
Yes.
But now fast forward to this team right now. That's what I'm talking about, Devon. The identity I struggle with. I have agita and anxiety watching the team play right now.
Yes.
I know this team is talented. It is talented. But if this team played against the 83 team or the 76ers, man, they lose. And I actually think that Allen Iverson and his crew, less talented by position, but they got AI with Eric Snow, a true point guard, might beat this team, right, with the Kimby in the middle. Not that he's better than Embiid, not by far. It's just they didn't make mistakes, Devon. They didn't turn the ball over. Guess what? Nobody scored 40 points on them in the fourth quarter. Nobody.
Yeah, the defense. Yeah, the way Larry Brown had that set up. And, of course, them all wanting to – they bought into their roles. They knew who they were. They knew what the team was. And they went out there and they just executed what needed to be executed. And that's why they made it to the finals that year. And that's why I said last night after the game, Derek, that I just didn't, it was an empty feeling after the win. They didn't deserve to win that game. And even though they did, which I'm glad that they did, it was just one of those performances where I stepped away and said, I don't know what's going on with this team. I don't know.
I don't know, John. I don't want to place it all on Brett. I don't want to place it all on Elton Brand because I think he's made lemonade out of lemons. If you think about what we had just a few years ago and we couldn't keep, you know, the man down in Miami who's absolutely a stud.
Jimmy.
That we couldn't keep. But if you look at what we had 3 years ago, Elton Brand did an amazing job. But in that 1983 team, who did they have coming off the bench? I don't know. Maybe Bobby Jones, like 3, 4, 5 times best sixth man of the year.
Yes.
Right? If Ron Furkan, if Kirk, you know what I'm saying, Korkmaz,
yeah.
And Neto are in the game at the same time again, I think I'm going to throw my TV out my window. Right?
I understand, man. Sometimes it just drives you crazy, Derek. Listen, thanks for the call, man. Again, thanks for calling from Chicago and allowing us into your home every night, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Devon. I love it, man. Keep it going, man. Keep it rolling, man. For all the fans.
Thank you, man. We will do our best, man. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I mean, it's a hard look. It's a tough look when you have to watch those guys out there on the floor together, Furkan Korkmaz and Haou Neto, and you just simply look at it and say, no. Philly Mick on Twitter. Nobody cares about hockey, LOL. We are Basketball City.
That's not true.
The majority of the Philadelphia fan base doesn't want to talk hockey. Don't get me wrong. I will always
root
for the Flyers. But the last thing I want to talk about, it's a weird thing that people don't want to talk about them during the regular season. They'll talk about them during the postseason. They have a great run, like the 10-game winning streak that they had, what was that, last season?
Yes.
And, yeah, we talked about it. But on a regular average day when they're going against the Sixers or the Eagles, Sixers and Eagles went over. It's just what it is. It's not us. It's them. Not them. You know what I mean. It's the sport. The other sports trump that one. And no pun intended.
I mean, yeah, there's certainly a pecking order in Philadelphia, and hockey's not first or second.
Yeah, we don't dislike it. We don't dislike it, and we'll get to Pat in Westchester, and we'll talk some Flyers tonight. 610-632-0975, and Philly Bry says, I believe Phil's games are 7 innings, and I looked it up, and I saw Corey and Jim talking about it on NBC Sports Philly, and they are 7-inning games where the Yankees, 405, will be the home team at Citizens Bank. The Phillies will be the home team following in the second part of the doubleheader. 610-632-0975. On the other side, folks, Emmy nominated. Brought to you by us, Bubble Watch, inside the NBA bubble. 610-632-0975. We'll incorporate the callers as well into it as we go inside the NBA bubble, good and bad, of what's going on in Orlando. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we get back. Bubble Watch right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic.
It is 829 97.5. The Fanatic, Devon Givens with you until 10. 610-632-0975. Having a blast talking Sixers. Even when we're frustrated, right? We're all venting. We're getting it off our chest. We're having a blast just talking to each other and figuring out what the problem is, or maybe not what the problem is. Overall, you heard, you know, Jay talking about certain things with Simmons and rewatching the game and not being as bad as we looked at it with Simmons. I saw it differently, but I respect how he went about watching the game, rewatching it, and figuring it all out. I hope he comes back tomorrow and shuts those guys down for the Washington basketball team as I look at them quickly. Washington, Ish Smith, Mo Wagner, so far I can think of off the top of my head. What's my man's name? Bonga, Troy Brown, Rui Hachimura, Troy Bryant, Thomas Bryant, pardon me. Shabazz Napier, yeah, Sixers should crush them tomorrow. They better. Well, let's go inside before we get to the guys on the phones. Couple of minutes here. We go inside the bubble. Get your thoughts when we come back to you guys on what's going on in Orlando inside the bubble. Yes. Well, first I have to start off with this bad one. Sixers related. Again, brought to you by us, Bubble Watch, Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens. How does we get on the guys last week about missing their coronavirus testing inside the bubble, which is why you are there? And Paul Millsap, we got on him. I forgot who the other player was. If you remember, Tyler, just belt it out. If not, it's okay, because how does Kylo Quinn Sunday miss his coronavirus test when you're inside the bubble for that very reason? Huh? 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 Come on, Kylo Quinn. Come on. I hope Matisse Thybulle got that on video, because that was terrible. That's why you're inside the bubble. You cannot miss your coronavirus test.
It's a daily test. Go down the stairs, man.
It's a daily test.
Don't they have like a conference room?
Come on. Can't do that. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. So you know how everybody was talking about all the food being terrible and all that stuff, right? Food being terrible while you're inside the bubble. Well, apparently, the food, again, we saw things upgrading day after day after day. They have a soul food place in there. Tyler, we talked about soul food and you eating certain soul food and getting you into the mix. Sienna's Caribbean Soul Food. I was looking at the
soul food. You got me in already.
Oh, man, I was looking at it. The greens, the sweet potatoes, the candy. Yeah, oh, come on. All of the great soul food. I'm looking at the rice and the barbecue and macaroni and cheese. They found it.
This is a Disney place.
Yes.
So what you're
Sienna's
saying.
Sienna's Caribbean soul food.
What you're saying
inside
is.
Inside to the bubble.
The next time that I get down there,
yes.
Probably in a few years, because
right.
I don't feel good going right now. But
right.
That's one of the restaurants I've got to go to.
Okay. You got to go there.
I'm in.
It's inside the bubble. So the other one here that I was looking at, remember when Matisse Thybulle had, did you see Russell Westbrook in the vlog?
I haven't seen the episode yet. No.
All right. Russell Westbrook is talking to Tobias Harris, and he's eating one of these Mickey Mouse ice cream sandwich things,
yeah.
Whatever. And I saw Dante DiVincenzo on the Bucks. Theirs as well.
Yeah.
Had to get Robin Lopez. Well, no, Brooke Lopez. Pretty good.
So it's, you know, like a Chipwich, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Chipwich shaped in Mickey Mouse form.
The ears and all that.
Or I guess it's maybe not a Chipwich. It's like an Oreo Chipwich.
Okay.
I guess. It's, you know, cookies and cream flavored.
All right.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
All right. I love it, man. Love it. Absolutely love it. Apparently, they also have Lakers Madden tournament going on inside the bubble, courtesy of J.R. Smith, where I look at week 4 Madden tournament. 3-1 is Markieff Morris. Who is the Quinn Cook 4-0?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd have had my money on Kuzma.
Yeah, he plays with the Steelers. Violation on Markieff Morris being from Philadelphia. The Chiefs, that would be another violation. Deion Waiters.
Too good.
You don't like to see that. And I mean, come on. But it's great that they have this little tournament going on inside the bubble, keeping themselves occupied when they're not playing basketball, golf, or fish. It's a good deal.
They're doing a pretty good job.
Of finding things to do,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, keeping themselves entertained.
Absolutely. Couple of other things here. Mo Wagner of the Wizards. Saw a video. Bubble life. Mo Wagner, acupuncture. And he can't take it. Like on his chest.
You ever get it?
No.
I've considered it.
My godfather's gotten it on his back. And he was talking to me about it because of my lower back problems. I just don't. I don't have a problem with needles. Like, I had to get a needle today in my knee. I have to get a series of 3 to kind of loosen things up with my ACL recovery. I don't have a problem with that.
That's interesting.
I don't know that I want to get acupuncture.
That's interesting because you have tattoos.
Yes.
Right? So like you've had that
burns.
Experience before.
That's like a constant burn.
Okay.
It's a consistent burn.
So you don't want to get like poked and prodded.
Yeah, I don't know if I want.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then they actually doesn't they like sit in your skin and stuff? I don't know. I'm out on that one with the acupuncture. Mo Wagner, we talked about it before with the manicure, the pedicure, and massage and all that stuff. Hey, come on. It's all right. Acupuncture. I'm not doing it. If anybody's done it, let us know. Maybe I'll consider it. Also, the bad news as we close things down here on Bubble Watch. Jaren Jackson Jr. torn meniscus for the Memphis Grizzlies. Unfortunately, he is now out for the remainder of the season. Tough break for them. And Jonathan Isaac, torn ACL left knee. Don't like to hear it, especially if I torn mine and ripped up part of my meniscus in the process. Speedy recovery to those guys. Hopefully they're back and ready for the season at some point in the 2020 campaign. But you know what? We're not going to end on a bad note. Tyler, give it to me here.
And how about Ivica Zubac with the rebound, but throws the outlet away, and the Suns have it. 6 to play. Booker, this is for the win. Got it! Wow!
Devin Booker, 35 points, the game winner, beating the Clippers.
What an underwhelming call there.
115 inside the bubble, and the Suns, who did not belong, are now 3 games out of the 8th seed in the Western Conference. They are 3-0 inside the bubble. Devin Booker, now you heard the call. Zubac threw the ball away. No, he didn't. Zubac got the rebound, turned and tried to outlet. Number 25 tipped it away. The Suns then found Devin Booker, and Booker made the shot. So come on, commentator, give the credit where credit is due. If not, I will stand up for my cousin like I just did. He tipped the ball away to regain possession, and Devin Booker with the shot. Let's end Bubble Watch right there, Tyler. Thank you. Brought to you by us. 610-632-0975. That was Bubble Watch, a weekly segment, nightly segment here on this show at 8:30. As long as they are inside the bubble, not just the Sixers, but the NBA, we will take you inside Bubble Watch. Brought to you by us. Thank you.
We'll get that sponsored.
Yeah, us. Let's go. Since we're talking about that, and we got some Flyers calls too. I love it. Pat and Chris want to talk some Flyers. Thank you, Tom. We're talking about Phoenix. We might as well go to Arizona and see what Lance is talking about. What's up, Lance?
What's up, man? So with the Flyers, just going to make a quick point. They remind me a lot of last year's St. Louis Blues team that got hot in the second half of the season.
Ooh.
And just turned it on.
Ooh.
They really, really remind me of that team. I think they have more offensive firepower than that Blues team, but I think that Blues team is a little bit better defensively. But, man, they're very similar when you kind of look at how their seasons were going. And then, I think St. Louis was way worse off than the Flyers were to start the season. But, man, they caught fire in the second half of the season, man. They just carried it.
And let's see it. If they carry it after being hot before the break, coming back from the break, and picking it up and going, man, come on, you talk about a run that we would talk about for a long time, this would be one of those that we would talk about.
It would only be fitting that the Flyers somehow won a Stanley Cup when they couldn't even play at home. That would be the most Philadelphia thing ever.
No question.
So anyways, with the Sixers, I called you yesterday, and I feel this way still. The ownership of the 76ers has so much responsibility with why this team has the issues that it does. Like, let's go back to their very first draft pick when they started this tanking with Noel, and they did it at 6. Even though he was injured, they took the risk because he was one of the best players in that draft. They took the risk. So then I go to the Zaire Smith draft. Like, Michael Porter, if he would have just came out of high school, would have been a top 2 pick in that draft. So you had a chance, if you were star hunting, to get a star, even if he's injured. I'd rather swing and miss on a guy that could potentially be a star player than hope that a guy from Texas Tech pans out when you don't know what position he's even going to play in the NBA because he was playing small or power forward in college. Like, to me, it didn't make any sense when he was staring you straight in the face. That was a star type player. It would have made up for the Fultz thing if he wound up just being good. It would have made up for that Fultz pick. So that's one problem I have with their ownership, is that you're willing to do chances, but then you're not willing to do chances when a guy's sitting straight in your face to 10.
And the problem is, as you just said, you said star hunting. Brett Brown said that, who was the interim GM at the time, star hunting, and that was the star we thought in the making. Now, they weren't the only team that passed up on that guy because of his back, Michael Porter Jr. We all know the skill level. We all know the talent. And New Orleans Noel like and taking that chance at that time, they were rebuilding. This one, they were trying to be ready to win. So maybe that one was there. But I get where you're coming from because we talked about it. And look, there's no, I'll bring Mikhail up again. Just because he's my family, we had to have that conversation because no one expected Michael Porter Jr. to be sitting there at pick number 10.
Yeah, and it's nothing against your cousin, man.
Oh, I know
I would have taken Bridges. I would have stayed with Bridges if Porter wasn't on the board. Like, it's just Porter. I feel like if you're at 10, you have to make that pick just because you're not – usually when you're picking at 10, you're not getting somebody, if he's healthy, that's that premier. And so my other 2 points with the Sixers are this. One, they don't have an identity because they keep switching GMs and GMs going into different directions of what they want this team. Not only that, they're messing with GMs because if you remember correctly, Sam Hinkie wanted to go Porzingis. Porzingis didn't want to come here because they saw what they were doing. But he wanted to go Porzingis, and he got told, don't do it because, A, he's not going to come, but, B, if he doesn't come, we don't have anything to show for a year tanking. You were tanking anyway, so what difference did it make if he came over this year or if he came over in 2 years? He was going to eventually come over when they got good.
Here was the other thing with that one, quickly. I don't know if many people know this, Lance. At the time, yes, they were out there in Las Vegas at, I forget the name of the gym, but they were out there in Las Vegas working out and watching Kristaps Porzingis, all the GMs. And yes, you're right, the reports were, you're not going to be able to talk to him. He was talking to everybody, but they wouldn't let Sam Hinkie talk to him. The other thing that I found out later on, Kristaps Porzingis and Nerlens Noel both play the same position, right? Same agent. Yeah. Same agent. So tough sell when you have two centers on the same team fighting for that spot right there. So I don't know how much it was, but I heard about that. Yaron Weitzman, who wrote the book Tanking to the Top, or we had him on as a guest. He also had that in his book. So I don't know how much that impacted that as well. Just think about that. An agent with two centers who both believe they're top picks, and now you have them competing for minutes. That's not going to be
I kind of feel this way. I kind of feel like you could play Porzingis at the four. I don't think he was strictly that, so you could have made it work.
I don't disagree with that.
But goes to my next point. I don't know where the Sixers have gotten, like, their organization, this theory that if Joel Embiid gets hurt, we have to have somebody to replace him that's as good as him or close to as good as him. You're not going to find somebody as good as Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid goes down, your season is most likely you're not winning anything. So this theory that they had to just pay Al Horford because they needed somebody in case Embiid got hurt, or they needed to draft Jahlil Okafor because in case Embiid didn't pan out, you were never going to get somebody. There's only three guys in the league that play that position center that I can say are at the level of Joel Embiid. So two guys, actually. Anthony Davis and Jokic. Other than that, you're not finding anybody that's at the same level as Joel Embiid. So if you think you're just going to go pay somebody to do that, and if Joel Embiid goes down, we're just going to put that guy in and we'll be fine. That was never realistic. Somehow they got this mindset that if Joel Embiid goes down, we have to have somebody to step in. You just needed somebody who was competent to be a backup.
Yeah, and that's when we started talking about different guys like Dwayne Dedman. When he became available, were you willing to spend that money? But it wasn't going to be as hefty as Al Horford. Lance, thanks for the call, man. We got to keep it moving. Dwayne Dedman, Rashawn Holmes, when he was here, he frustrated me because I didn't think he defended well enough. And he rebounded okay, but he didn't defend well enough. So he annoyed me, but he went on to Phoenix and started playing well. Now in Sacramento. Crossed the bubble line for some lemon pepper wings, but he's an okay player now in the NBA playing for the Sacramento Kings. So, Lance, you're right. We really just wanted a competent backup. Elton Brand went way, way beyond that and went and got Al Horford not only to play next to him and be that veteran guy with Embiid, but also to be that primary backup when Embiid was off the floor and certainly out for an extended period of time. 610-632-0975. Rev Ronnie, if this team is coached by Pop or better coach, they're probably the two seed. Brett is incompetent. Quote, Ben's going to shoot threes. Another quote, we won't see Ben, Joel, or Al on the court together. All things that haven't occurred for the 76ers. I'm done with him. He deserves to get fired in the bubble. All right. So that's Rev Ronnie on Brett Brown and the Sixers. 610-632-0975. And Philly Mac says acupuncture has been around for thousands of years, yet no scientific evidence that it actually works. Huh?
Is it like a mentality thing?
I don't know. I've never done any research on it because I've never given any thought that I was going to do it.
You know what I mean, though? Like, there's certain things that people will tell you to do, and you just kind of get it in your head that this is going to help me. And then I'm not a psychologist, but from like a healthy mental standpoint, it makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that it has like no physical mm-hmm. attributes to making you better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's one of those. I know nothing about it.
I don't know, but you said you thought about it, though.
Oh, I've thought about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually just kind of interested to see.
Yeah, I mean, if my back continues to hurt the way that it hurts, I'm all beat up now, ACL, lower back, then maybe I would give it. If anybody, you know, let us know about the acupuncture. Let us know if you guys have done it and if it worked out. Let's go to Mel in Southwest, or we're going to get to Pat soon on his Flyers. What's up, Mel?
Hey, Devon, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on with you? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. First time, long time.
Yeah, good to hear from you again, man.
So before I get to my point, I just want to say yoga for your lower back. I had some back issues. Yoga cleared everything up for me. So try that when you get a chance.
How long did you have the back issues?
I had the back issue for about 3 years.
Okay.
I had a herniated disc in my back for about 3 years.
Okay.
Did all the chiropractic stuff and just got into yoga. I did yoga for about 6 months straight, and I have not been back to chiropractor. So
wow.
I would say definitely try that.
All right. I'll give it a shot, man. I'll check it out.
Great. So the last caller had a good segue for some of my points. First, let me say I'm not a hater. I'm a realist. Okay. So I'm not a hater. I'm a realist. So first, I want to say the Hinky versus Colangelo thing, I think that's kind of where we first went wrong. I think Hinky had a whole plan, and someone on the station mentioned it long, long ago. They was like, I hope they don't remove Hinky and bring someone else in because he won't be able to finish his vision. And that's exactly what happened. Colangelo came in with all these crazy ideas that just did not work out. And now we're on to the Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you know, thing. And it could be great, but they just don't work well together, in my opinion. And the main reason I would say is because Ben Simmons is really a point guard. Like, you know basketball. I grew up watching some of my favorite point guards are Iverson, Nick Van Exel, Rod Strickland, guys in Philly, Lynn Greer, Joey Newton, Troy Kennard. Like, there's something about these guys that screams point guard for me, and that is they get easy buckets. I mean, easy buckets for themselves,
mm-hmm.
easy buckets for the team. It's not just about, you know, can you get in your sets or, you know, can you run the offense? Easy buckets in transition, more so in the half court. And that's just something I never see Ben Simmons do. Like, ever. Anytime he's been here, I've never seen him. Like, even when he's on a fast break, coming up the court, it's like he stops at the top of the key. Am I the only one that sees that? Or
no, you're right.
Right. So if we don't have anyone penetrating on a consistent basis, how is anyone ever going to get easy open shots? Like, point guard, you're not a point guard just because you can dribble the ball and make a pass here and there.
Right. I agree.
Right. So, and that's, to me, that's what Ben Simmons does. Not to say he's not a good player. I mean, he has.
That's why I call him, Mel. I call him a basketball player. I don't necessarily designate him as a point guard. I think he has the ability to do the stuff that he does with the ball in his hands. But I think he's a basketball player overall because he's so versatile. And that's how they should use him. That's why I didn't mind this move to the four. He'll still have the ball, but he's not the primary point guard. And right now they don't have a designated point guard.
Hey, that's a great point. And people are calling up like after two games, like it's the end of the world. Like, let's give this a shot and see how it goes. Cause you already seen him at point guard. Like the best version, I don't know what your idea of the best version of this team is or was throughout, you know, the Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons era. But when they had Jimmy Butler, and he wasn't, and Ben Simmons didn't have the ball in his hands, I think that was the best for the team. They were a crazy shot away from the NBA championship.
Yes, and I also love him on the team. I wanted him to come back, Mel. I do know, at least it was mentioned to me in NBA circles about Simmons and Butler, not necessarily not getting along, but how how it would work if he did come back for 4 years. Ben Simmons basically accepting the fact that the ball would be out of his hands sometimes, if not more. And Jimmy Butler and Shake Milton are two totally different people, right? So we know personality-wise, there's a difference between Butler and Milton when you're talking about these guys handling the basketball.
You're 100% right, but we are still at the point where he doesn't have the ball in his hand, and now we're
I know.
that's, I mean, like, it's like we lost twice just because we want to see Ben Simmons as a point guard. Just, why can't we just let him be a good player playing basketball and stop trying to beg for him to be a point guard? Like, point guards get easy buckets. That's just my point.
I hear you, Mel. Listen, great call, man. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk, man, and let's hope these guys get things together.
Thanks, Devon. Have a good one.
You too, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Listen, Pat, we want to start with you on the other side and give you all your time on the Flyers. You want to talk about the defense. Hey, I said outside of Carter Hart being tremendous, the defense has to step up, and they have done that. We know they have done that, and certainly in game one, a 4-1 victory over the Boston Bruins, their defense showed up. We'll talk about that, their line depth, the pairing, all of that stuff. Brian, Theo, Chuck in the Northeast. Haven't heard from Charles in a bit. We'll get to Chuck. We'll get to some of these tweets. We'll talk about the Flyers. We'll get into the Phillies again. 7 innings, doubleheader tomorrow against the Yankees. We have plenty more to come. And one more Jeff Stan Van Gundy cut we have. We'll play that other Stan Van Gundy cut as well. 610-632-0975. Speakerbox says on Twitter, by the way, TJ Warren, still cooking. 32 today against the Magic. Is it possible he's just that good? Well, Speakerbox, it's possible he's in a great, great rhythm right now. He's a professional scorer. We'll continue to talk about this stuff on the other side until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.